The word that became flesh is Immortal. I will come again and receive you into myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:3. Our realization that God alone lives makes it clear that it is He who lives in you and me, guides our actions, leads us where He would have us go. And when we reason this to the logical and final conclusion, we see it must be so. Then let the result be what it will, knowing that it is what the divine mind would have for the present, even if it is the exact opposite to what you have planned. This is translation of reality into action. Your silent partner, who is never separated from you, I am with you even unto the end of the world. This was the truth Jesus knew. It was by this wonderful power of the divine presence manifesting in and through him that he was the man who the world has looked upon as a guiding light for humanity. We note that life is an invisible thing. We note that electricity is the invisible power in the dynamo. We see the dynamo working, driving machinery, but there is the invisible power that is doing it. The dynamo is dead when that invisible power is switched on. Life is that same invisible power in mankind. And according to the quality of mind of realization, so does this invisible life power work through that mind. Therefore we see that Jesus was the complete, perfect man, where this life was manifesting through in its totality. And when he said, it is so, it would be so. So we see that he was the expression of this life as an example to all mankind. Because we have never seen that life, just as we have never seen electricity. Although we see the dynamo in action, and although we see man in action, yet we do not know what this invisible power is. We only know that it is. But seeing Jesus at work and listening to his words, we see clearly that he was the expression of that life for mankind. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And his words also, what I see my Father do, I do likewise. If you can comprehend this, you will get beyond your mind into a state where you realize that that same life that was in Jesus is in you. Because there cannot be two lives. There can only be one life. And that life is eternal, ever-present. In this recognition, you see clearly it's the awareness of this truth that enables the life to manifest through the individual who is aware. This takes away all struggle, which is frustration, all fear, which is separation and chaos. Removes that inward poverty that makes for craving and unhappiness. Yes, we may be rich outside, but we may be inwardly poor. And no matter what we accumulate, we will still have that inward poverty. We will still crave for something that can never fill that vacuum. It cannot be filled from outside. It can only be filled with the truth. Where there is inward poverty, there is craving to cover up with external things, which never satisfies craving. Not until this constant struggle is understood can there be peace. And only when there is peace can the real be realized and inward poverty be removed. Inward peace. Have you ever thought about it? I have often. And what is it that gives you inward peace? Certainly it is not things that come from the outside, because these things are always agitating you. You're either craving for them, or you're ambitious for them, or you're jealous for them, or you are fearful for them. There is always a craving that is never fulfilled. Inward peace comes from that realization. The reality itself is all, and there is nothing but reality. There is nothing outside it. It is in everything. It is the creative power. It is that silent power that drives the dynamo, that drives mankind through to understanding. That is the wonderful peace, that there can be no separation anywhere. Most people are chasing after truth, only to get something out of it. They crave, and have never failed. Only through the cessation of struggle does freedom come, and with it comes all things, because God is all things and is ever present now. Is it not so the teaching today generally is that you use the truth to obtain everything you possibly can? I want a house, I use the truth for that. I want a car, I use the truth for that. I want a bicycle, I use the truth for that. I want this and I want that, and you use the truth for it. You only want the truth because it enables you to get something. But that's not truth. That's an illusion. You haven't got the truth, and there is no such thing as truth in those things at all. That is desire. And your desire is fulfilled by desire. But it is not truth. There is much confusion today about the human mind. This is obvious because it is the realm of opposites. And our awareness through the senses is associated with the outer, the relative world, and reacts to conditions of the personal environment, which is extremely limited and often illusionary. Through it, we take into consideration time and space, events, etc. We are influenced by them. Thus, when we are caught up in the relative, we are limited, and reason from the individual or relative point of view. It's quite clear, is it not, when you are thinking. You must discern how your thinking comes about. Is your thinking the result of some external thing? Is your thinking the result of some emotion, some external reaction, something the person says or does, something about the world, something about conditions and circumstances? Is your thinking then arise from these conditions external to yourself? If it is so, then don't you see that becomes confusion? But if your thinking is direct, if you become aware of how your thinking arises and discern it, it will drop away from you. Then you will see that thinking purely comes from your own consciousness. I am life. I am alive and living. I am the only thing that can think. If I am caught up in these external things to myself, I think from the basis of these things. Therefore, my thinking is illusionary. But if I know myself, and I know I am life, then I can create thought with understanding, knowing that my words shall not return unto me void, but accomplish that which is sent forth to do. There's no use of saying my words shall accomplish that which is sent forth to do, because it never will, unless you understand that there is no opposition to it. But if the mind is filled with confusion, and it's based upon the relative, then you will know that your word means nothing. Your prayers are illusionary. Your thinking is chaos. You're only bringing more misery upon yourself and others. Think clearly then, these words of mine are true. They make you think deeply, contemplate. We draw a conclusion from supposed facts and effects which are seen on the surface. Yet the real cause is hidden in the inner, which we have not yet realized. Only a part is seen, while the whole is not realized. Yet what we have is but an opinion of what is seen on the surface, being unaware of that which is unseen, which is the cause. Fear, doubt, apprehension is caused by assuming what we see to be a reality instead of an effect. Effects can never embarrass one who knows. When the consciousness becomes aware of cause, reality, there is perception that reveals what is false and true, or that which is only revealed on the surface. With this understanding, there is a question of that which is seen on the surface, and this leads to reflection and discernment. It was this that the Master knew when he prayed for the forgiveness of those who did not know what they were doing. They did not know what they were doing. They were caught up in this belief that they were doing God a service by killing him because of their belief. And yet they were religious people. But they would kill their brother. And we have the same thing today. It's not very long ago since the Spanish Inquisition, where the church allowed people to be destroyed and burnt at the stake. And they were religious people too. That's belief. That's religion. But that's not the religion that the Master had. Religion that the Master had was, love your neighbor as yourself, and then you will love God in a practical way. Beliefs lead to separation and chaos, antagonism and cruelty. And we see this in our everyday life. If you conform to the ideas and beliefs of others, you imitate. Imitation is not understanding, therefore create much trouble for ourselves and others. Is it not so that beliefs bring trouble? We don't quarrel over the truth, we quarrel over our beliefs. Look at the Middle East today. There are religious people, the Mohammedans. They want to destroy and drive the Christians out of the country. They're torturing their own people who are Christians because they have turned from a Muslim religion to the Christian religion. And they are religious people. They have got religious leaders who are fanatics but can't think. They're as dead as this table. And there are many more the same in this country too, and in every other country. When you become a thinker, you turn towards reality, which develops a sense of perception, to know that which is false and that which is true. And by your reflection and questioning, you dissolve away that which is false. We would have no politicians if all knew the truth, for the truth would set us free. We would have no differing creed, no economic problems, no conformity to ideas of those who do not understand. But because we do not know the truth, we are exploited. In your belief in death, you're exploited because of your belief in death. Your belief in sacrifice, you're exploited because your belief in sacrifice. And those who ask you to sacrifice benefit from your sacrifice, and then they exploit you further. It's a wonderful world, isn't it? Which only requires you to think a little while and discern what you're doing. A person asked me the other day if he would tithe. I said, what do you want to tithe for? He said, you know, if you tithe, you're supposed to get this and get that. I said, are you dependent upon your tithing to get this and that? Don't you see that you're depending on something outside yourself? And all this is an illusion. You must depend upon that which is real itself in you. That's the only thing you can depend upon. The other is an illusion. The other is exploitation. Give by all means if you want to give, but don't be a fool, a sucker, to be caught up in that sort of thing. Because, don't you see, you're exploited every moment because of your belief in this thing. You're caught up in it. Give by all means, but don't give to get. If you want to create, know your own creative power, and creativeness is within you. Creativeness is not in tithing. Creativeness is not in giving. Creativeness is in knowing, understanding. Without truth as a guide, what is seen in the outer is believed in the inner. And there is an exact reproduction of what is seen through the senses, faithfully and logically, with all the details actually produced, whether effects are true or not. Thus, the mob rules. The sheep are led to the slaughter, and the innocent are slain. War and all the misery thereof that man suffers because he does not know. You are what you believe you are. The world is what you are. When we see Jesus at work, and he knows all this, he sees how people are suffering. His heart bleeds for them. He does not condemn them, oh no. He only sees that they're caught up in this ignorance, creating misery for themselves and others. Many are still incapable of thinking. But as the truth of reality becomes known, more and more will begin to think. But this is what your leaders do not want you to do, is to think, only to imitate and believe. If they can get you to believe and imitate, then everything is all right. When you begin to think for yourself, you are persecuted because you refuse to follow a pattern laid down to follow. But if you ever follow a pattern, then you are lost. You, who are students of the highest truth, can never follow a pattern. You must rely entirely upon that creative principle, that invisible divine power that created you for its own purpose. When you know that, then you will be led for that divine nature. We kill for no reason, and our misery is increased. Do the masses fighting today really know what they are fighting for? Ask the thousands and millions of Chinese if they know what they're fighting for. See the ignorant mass fighting for what they do not know. Ignorance personified. When the truth of your being is realized, the Eternal will ever rejuvenate your mind and body. And the presence of the Eternal then becomes your silent partner and leads you into green pastures. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the feast of thy children. Isaiah 54:13. The Lord is within, and Isaiah understood. Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 30:22. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Hebrews 8:10. I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Leviticus 26:12. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isaiah 41:10. Here we see the prophets tell us of the good things when we realize the truth of the only one whose name is love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all thy heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. But when the mind is full of false beliefs, you become antagonistic to others. This creates in harmony and misery. This is a state of consciousness which is unaware of reality. This is a consciousness that reacts to effects seen on the surface, not knowing the truth about them. Only when the ever-present intelligence is realized as a fundamental factor in human existence does separation and antagonism disappear and affection takes their place. And when the consciousness is not aware of what it's doing, caught up, man suffers because it's created. You create the world you live in because of ignorance. If you will look into your mind, you will see how you are caught up in the outer, causing sorrow and conflict. This creates in you a feeling of limitation, inward poverty, a feeling of insecurity. while your craving to be rid of this only leads you away from that which alone can free you. So your craving to free yourself from limitation doesn't free you. It only leads you away from that which can free you. That is understanding. You pray for freedom, but do you get freedom? Of course you don't. You can pray till doomsday. You must understand yourself. And by understanding yourself, you will see clearly what the self is doing. And when you see what the self is doing, you will understand the self. Then when all the false things that are hindering the expression of that which is whole and dissolved away, no longer to be remembered against you, because nothing is, immediately you discern anything completely and clearly in your mind, then it falls away from you. You are no longer held against you because the spirit is free. But if you become aware of your inward poverty and the cause of this inward poverty, you will immediately begin to understand, and understanding leads to freedom and to that which is in itself complete, where there is nothing wanting. To truly reach that which in itself is complete, you must think in the absolute and not in the relative, which is but a restrictive state of consciousness. To do this, you must take your thinking out of the relative, where it is surrounded by false beliefs and opinions which you have accepted from others, and dissolve them in the absolute reality which is not limited by beliefs or opinions. Then you will understand that your beliefs and opinions are but the limited state of your own consciousness and a hindrance to the expression of reality. To have no belief that can separate me from my fellow man is the most joyous feeling you could ever have in life, because there is no separation between you. It's a wonderful feeling. In your work in the world of trade and commerce, in your association with others, life, if it had been followed, the world today would not be what it is. And this is because the world did not understand him, and those who profess to teach his word do not understand him either. Otherwise, there would be fewer beliefs and only one religion: the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. But that is lip service. We hear it spouted all over the place. But the words are not understood, yet they carry on with their same antagonisms towards others. The world today is in confusion. Look at it. We will see the East and the West is divided, and partly on religious beliefs, and next on ideologies. When we look at the world today and see that we have only made an image of Jesus in our minds as a means of worship, at the same time carrying on with our destructive reactions to conditions we ourselves create, instead of applying his teachings in our lives, we condemn instead of blessing, hating instead of loving, accusing instead of forgiving, and unkindness instead of being kind. The reason that we have failed to realize that there is only one life existing in every living soul, and the only reality is that life. When Jesus said, "I am the life," he was pronouncing the greatest scientific fact ever known to man. Yes, he was the greatest of all prophets, and the prophets rejoiced to see his day, because he fulfilled the final act of appealing after so-called death to prove that life in the flesh cannot be separated from the life of God. The same life is ever present now. It is the same life now as then, living eternally, ever present in you and me. The Father, having life in himself, has granted the Son to have the same life in himself. And we will see this clearly through the resurrection of Jesus, the Master of life. It was Monday morning at early dawn. Mary of Magdala and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome brought with them to the tomb where Jesus was laid sweet spices for the purpose of anointing him. While on their way, they said, "Who will pull away the boulder for us to open the tomb?" For it was a very large boulder. But when they reached the tomb, they saw the boulder had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they found the body of Jesus was not there. They were bewildered and perplexed. Then two men in shining raiment appeared, and they were much afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. But the men said to them, "Why search among the dead for him who is alive? He was the great example. He was the proof of his life. And we search among the dead for the dead. But he said, 'Let the dead bury the dead. Because all who believed in death were dead already. Why search ye among the dead for him who is alive? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man had to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. And who were the sinful men? Was it not the high priest? And to be crucified and rise on the third day?' Then they remembered what he said, 'Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he precedes you to Galilee, as he told you. You shall see him there.'" The mention of "go and tell his disciples and Peter" is very significant, because Peter was the stalwart, the strong disciple. Yet in his strength, he denied his master. Is it not so that where there is strength, the strongest physical character, there is weakness? No matter how strong that physical character may be, from a physical point of view or from a mental point of view, there is a weakness always there. Because it's the mind, it's human nature. But in the spirit, it is entirely different. Jesus was completely expressing the spirit, and there was no weakness of any kind. But Peter did not yet understand, as you will see. They fled from the tomb in terror, and went and reported all this to the 11 and all the others. But their story to them sounded like nonsense, and they could not believe it. Isn't that true? Same thing would happen today. They still believed in death, even after all the Master had taught them. They did not know. But Peter and John got up and ran to the tomb. John ran ahead faster than Peter, and got to the tomb first. He glanced in and saw the bandages lying on the ground, but did not go inside. Then Simon Peter came after him and went inside the tomb and saw that the bandages were lying on the ground. But the napkin which had been folded around his head like a turban had rolled a bit to one side when the pressure of the master's head was removed. The body of the master simply vanished through the 100 pounds of spices, and the clothing which he wore was left there as if they had dropped from him. This was the dematerialization of the physical body into the substance from which it came. The resurrection body remained intact. The spirit is master of all things manifest and can at will take any form. So Jesus the Christ came to his disciples in his familiar form, as you will see shortly. The disciples did not yet understand when the master told them that he would rise from the dead. So the disciples, in their bewilderment, returned home. But Mary of Magdala, commonly called Mary Magdalene, started sobbing beside the tomb. And as she again looked into the tomb, she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body had lain, one at the head and one at the foot. "Woman," said they, "why are you sobbing?" You can imagine why she was sobbing. Her love for the master was so great. It was so abounding and complete. He was like herself. They were two, as it were, and he also recognized her. She replied, "Because they have taken away my master, and I do not know where they have put him." With those words, she turned round and noticed someone standing there. She did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to her, "Woman, why are you sobbing?" This is the point now. Jesus stood there, yet she did not know him. Through her tears, perhaps, she did not see the face clearly. Or perhaps Jesus did not feel inclined to reveal himself completely to her for the moment. She thought it was the gardener. "Oh, sir," she said, "if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him." Still realizing that the Christ was in the body. No, they had not realized the wonderful truth yet. Even his disciples, those surrounding him all the time, yet did not know or yet understand his words to them. Do you understand his words either? Do you really comprehend the fullness of his message? "Mary," said Jesus, in his familiar voice, a voice that you always love to hear, voice that carried love and compassion. She started round and said, "Rabboni," meaning master in Hebrew. She clung to him in her love and joy of seeing the master alive. This experience was the greatest thing that could happen to Mary. She was privileged because of her love for the master. Then Jesus said to her, "Cease clinging to me, Mary. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers, his disciples, and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and yours, to my God and yours." we can well imagine what was in our mind. Human nature is much the same, you know, the excitement, the bewilderment, the complete awareness that he was alive, living. It's too much for Mary. And I can see how she was telling the disciples looking at her in a sort of amazement. I don't believe it. Yet there were his disciples. When we pass from the earthly state, there is a period when we often show ourselves to our loved ones, before we have ascended to our state of being in the inner. It is only when we appear afterwards can we touch and be touched freely. This is borne out in many cases on scientific investigation in the psychic realm. Now the soldiers who were on guard were amazed at what they saw and were terrified. Now this is a record of what they saw as they were gathered around the tomb, watching that no one could come there and open the tomb and take Jesus away. But to flee meant death for cowardice, so they stood and watched. And this was just before sunrise on Monday morning. They saw blazing light and saw form descending, and they heard the words, Adon Mashish Kamai, which means Holy One Arise. Then the figure in radiant splendor trampled upon the Roman seal and tore it into shreds. What would a mere Roman seal mean to the spiritual people, to the reality? He took the mighty stone as though it were a pebble from the brook and cast it aside. Jesus was then transformed, arose and his body dematerialized. The young soldiers fell on the ground and the older ones stood and watched the change from mortal to immortal. Then the disappearance. And a voice from somewhere cried out, Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. The great significance of this story, this everlasting life, belongs to you and me, belongs to every human soul on earth. Here was the greatest revelation the world had ever known, and with it came peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. They looked into the tomb, and they saw it was empty, and exclaimed, The Nazarene has arisen as he said he would. So they hastened to Jerusalem, and to the high priest, and said, Behold, the Nazarene has risen as he said. And they told them about the wonders of the night. The high priest and elders then held counsel and said, This news must not go forth among the people that Jesus has arisen from the dead. Then all will say he is the Son of God, and our testimonies will be proven false. So they give a large sum of money unto the soldiers to say that his disciples came by night and took the body away while they slept, saying, We will make it right with Pilate for breaking the Roman seal. And the soldiers did what they were paid to do. And this story has been disseminated among the Jews even to this day. In the next lesson, we will see how Jesus appeared to his disciples. I will come again and receive you into myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. This is the eternal Christ. He shall be with me this very day in paradise. All is forgotten. There is only spirit. Nothing can exist in the Christ but the pure expression of God. That invisible, wonderful power, that intelligence that built the body, the brain, the nervous system, that invisible force that still inhabits it, that invisible force that is now speaking, that invisible force is the spirit alone has voice. It uses the brain, the nervous system, and the mechanism to speak the word. If you can see behind my words, you will see the truth of the everlasting life that is present now. The same in the beginning is now. I am Alpha and Omega. Benediction. O beloved brother, I open my soul to thine, so that all the fragrant perfume of thy love will scent the atmosphere that surrounds me, and I shall say in my heart, I shall be thy child. I will laugh at death, for I will hold the presence of the Father as my constant awareness of thee. In thy blessed light, I will dissolve all shadows and fears that appear. And in thy blessed truth, I shall remain alive forever. May thy love be expressed in my devotion to him who sent you into the world to witness unto the truth of the only one. Help me to awaken this truth and love in all hearts, beloved brother of mine. Let us enter into the sanctuary of the silent healing power. Know that our word goes forth not to return void, but to accomplish that which is sent forth to do. This is the realization we have in the sanctuary. words resound throughout the world. And goodwill towards all men. My peace.